Starting next Sunday, our small groups begin, and they are at 1 o'clock after service. And what we will have workbooks, and we'll go deeper into this teaching, and we will work through some of the issues, some of the struggles that we are personally having with a group of people. And so I encourage you, sign up for small groups if you can, so we can go deeper with Dr. Henry. There's a lot more teaching on this. And so we're going to begin our PowerPoint. And if you have your notes, the notes are posted every week. And you should have received the outline in an email. And if we don't have your email address, please send it to us. So, Aaron, we're ready for the PowerPoint. Okay, and so we're going to take a look again at Luke 13, 6 through 9, just to highlight the points that were made in the presentation. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And Jesus is sharing this parable. And this, the person that owned the vineyard is probably, could be representative of God. God has this vineyard. We're the planting of the Lord. We're in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And so on the fig tree, and usually the fig tree is representative of Israel. Israel as a witness to the world at that time. But this is also a representation of the church and the fruit that's in the church at this time. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also." And you know that could probably be Jesus. He's the intercessor, right? He sits at the right hand of the Father and he pleads your case. When you mess up, Jesus says, bless him. He's covered with the blood. He has my righteousness. He belongs to me. Lord, you gave him to me. He's always interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And he's like, wait a minute. Don't cut it down. He says, let it alone until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if you've walked with the Lord very long, you know that he gets into your business and he begins to dig around. We have symptoms in our life of which are representative of the fruit in our life, and it comes from the root system. So there are different manifestations of fruit that comes forward in our life based upon what's in the roots. And God will dig around to get that root system out of you that does not belong, so that his fruit of righteousness can come. So until I dig around it and fertilize it, and if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. So the parable of the barren fig tree teaches us that God is merciful, and he's willing to forgive. And the scripture says he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. That's you and I. On the other hand, it reminds us that God's patient mercy has limits. The scripture clearly tells us that God will not always strive with man. And neither you or I want to be on the receiving end when God's patience runs out. It's better to repent now. Let him dig around. Let him fertilize us while we have the opportunity. So as I shared, the fig tree often in the scripture represents Israel as a visible witness of God in the world. And when the vineyard owner was looking for fruit, he was disappointed. disappointed that he hadn't seen it come forth yet. But aren't we thankful that God is long-suffering? God is long-suffering. He will wait on us. He will wait for the precious fruit of the earth. And that is the fruit of righteousness. He wants righteousness to come forth. And it's interesting that he gave a 3-year time period. Did you notice that? 3 years is a long enough trial for a fig tree to bear fruit. Fig trees are a little complicated to take care of, but when taken care of properly, they will bring forth fruit in 3 years. And so if we would take that time span within a 3-year realm after you get saved, after you've been born again, there should be some significant fruit that's coming forth in our lives. And if there isn't, then something's wrong with the root system, and God wants to dig around. And this is an ongoing process. Has anyone noticed it's an ongoing process? That when you walk with the Lord, he continues to work in your life for the reason of he wants you to be visible fruit in the earth to represent the kingdom of God. We represent Jesus Christ. We're his fruit. We are his disciples. And so what comes out of us should be representative of Jesus Christ. We're created in his image and after his likeness, and God is transforming us into the image of his dear son. That's our purpose here on earth. We look for our purpose, but the main thing is regardless of the talents and the gifts that God has given you and the mission that he might have you on, we must produce the fruit of Jesus Christ in our lives. Bishop always teaches that God works on our character. He is more concerned about your character than he is about you ever doing anything for him. Because if your character is not intact, if you have not submitted yourself, yielded yourself, allowed God to get into those difficult areas, he can't use you to the level that he wants to. And we see how God uses each one of us to encourage one another, to help one another, to grow. You cannot do this isolated. You must be connected to the vine, right? We get connected to the vine, and then we are connected together because our source is God. Hallelujah. And he wants to use his church. He wants to have churches that heal, that know how to extend the grace. So let's take a look at some of the scriptures just to establish the truths that have been put forth. John 1:14. Let's read it together. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's read our quote. I'll read the quote. It's from Frederick Buechner. It says, grace is something you can never get, but only be given. There's no way to earn it or deserve it or bring it about any more than you can deserve the taste of raspberry and cream or earn your good looks, everyone smile, or bring about your own birth. And grace is more than God accepts me. John Piper says, grace is the enabling gift of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. So most of you have probably heard the term greasy grace, where behaviors are excused, sin is excused, but that is not what grace is. Grace does not give us a license to sin. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid. It does not give us a license to sin, but grace enables us. not to sin. Let's look at the Greek meaning of grace. It comes from the Greek word. How many of you use a Strong's? Look up your words. Strong's Dictionary. It's always fun to see what the Greek word means. So the Greek means grace, indicating favor on the part of the giver. Thanks on the part of the receiver is rendered acceptable. So we are on the receiving end of God's amazing grace. Tell someone, I thank God for that. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Some of these are basics that we know, but we need to be reminded. Let's read it together. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are created for good works, which God has already prepared for us. And he wants us to walk in them. He wants us to have visible fruit in our lifetime. Together, we are the church. And as we live our lives in the way God designed them, people around us see our fruit. And God requires us to produce fruit. Let's look at we need grace and we need God's truth. And that's in John, and Jesus is praying this in John 17. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Is that up there? Okay, I can't hear you. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. When the question was asked in the New Testament, what is truth? Jesus responded, my word is truth. So sanctification means to make holy. From the Vine's Dictionary, it's the separation of the believer from the world in his behavior. When Jesus Christ sanctifies us and sets us apart, we no longer act like the world. There is a dividing line. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. And so we no longer partake in the same things that the world partakes in. But our focus, our allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. We become citizens of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has its own government. The kingdom of God has its own economic system. The kingdom of God has its own healthcare system. We are members of the kingdom of God. We are no longer a part of this world. And so often we have to shake that off of us. We have to pray that off of us. We have to break the relationship emotionally that we have with the things of the world. We have to ask God to work on our desires. We need to find someone to hold us accountable so we don't go back into that way of life. You see, that's what we're talking about with churches that heal. It's like we all know that we are tempted. We all know that we do not live perfect lives. We all know that there are struggles. When you keep those things to yourself and you isolate yourself, you're not going to receive the nourishment that God intended for you to receive healing and strength and to be nourished. Remember, what we receive comes from the Father and those around us. I like the part when he was talking about using the example of the man that kept gaining weight, you know, and his friend says, well, he needs self-discipline. And Henry says, but the self has no discipline. So how is that going to happen? And so this is where it comes in, that we need the help of one another to grow in Christ, to be held accountable. And people often run from accountability. But you will be accountable to someone your entire life. You never get away from it. I remember being young, a teenager, and thinking, I can't wait till I'm the boss. Well, guess what? My first job, I had the meanest boss. Yeah, I was all grown up. But I was still under authority. We will always be under authority. God designed it that way. The kingdom of God has its own government. And the sooner we submit to what God wants for our life, the stronger we will become, and those hurts and wounds and triggers that trigger you will be healed. If there's an area of your life that you're continually triggered over and over again, then there is some digging that needs to be done. Because there's something in the root system of your life. Remember, the Lord said we are the planting of the Lord. There is something in our root system that needs to be taken care of. Otherwise, we wouldn't be getting triggered. And once you're healed and set free from that trigger, it's just amazing when you realize it. You know, it's like, wow, I did not respond the way I would have responded in the past. Something has happened on the inside of me. You can't always see a miracle working in your life. You don't see the transformation of the butterfly, the metamorphosis when it's coming out of the cocoon. You don't know what's going on the inside of that cocoon, but something's going on the inside of our spirit, on the inside of our soul, that is transforming us and making us new. Give the Lord a praise this morning. He wants to sanctify us. We are separate from the world. I'm going to read the rest of those points. Sanctifying grace. The way we receive grace is through God's truth. The Holy Scripture, the Word of Truth. The prayer of Jesus is for his disciples to be kept from evil and to be made holy. We are sanctified by truth. To change your life, abide in the Word. There are a lot of treatments, there are a lot of great ideas, and everything works together. But we will not have a permanent change in our heart and soul without the Word of God. God's Word is spiritual. It's spirit and it's life. And what needs to be changed is our spirit and our life. And so it is through the Word of God. And I can't emphasize that enough. We've been teaching about falling in love with the Word of God, abiding in His Word. And so when you're reading His Word, when you're meditating upon His Word, you may not see anything happening, but even when I don't see Him, He's moving. You see, we've got to believe that our spirit man needs to be nourished. People's spirits are malnourished. That's why they act the way that they act. Come on. And you know what? When you're weak physically, there's things you give into that you probably would not give into. Do you agree? It's the truth. And so think about it. When you're weak spiritually, there are areas that you will give into that you know you should not give into. Because you're weak, we need the word of God. Let's read this passage, John 15:3-4. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We need the word of God to clean us. I shared last week, there is nothing else that will clean your soul other than the word of God. You can't order anything on Amazon. You can't mix up something in your house. We need the word of God. Just pick up that Bible and read your Bible. It's the living word of God. And God's promises are true. And it cleans our soul. And then he says, abide in me and I in you. There is this personal relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a two-way relationship. We're talking to the Lord and the Lord is talking to us. We're talking to Jesus and he's talking to us. Hallelujah. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you one of his sheep? Hallelujah. We hear the voice of the Lord and he speaks to us through his word. And as you meditate on that word, you receive revelation. Has anyone received any revelation lately? God is pouring out a spirit of revelation upon his people, upon the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit of wisdom and revelation. And thank you, Father God. We receive it in Jesus' name. So we are saved by grace and we are sanctified, made holy by truth, which is God's word. Let's read John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me, and are my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. It is so important to grow in the word. So the 3 points that Dr. Henry shared was about grace, truth, and time. And in the small groups, there is a whole session just contributed or dedicated for maturing. And so many people in the body of Christ are not mature in every part of their soul. Something has happened to traumatize them in some way, and you see them act out. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's one of your triggers. Something really triggers you. But it is a part of the soul that has been damaged, hurt. Satan makes sure that you get hurt. Nobody sitting in this room never got hurt growing up. No one sitting here probably escaped being made fun of. The enemy uses whoever he can to intimidate and to antagonize and to hurt and harm people. He's a mean devil. Let's read this in Ephesians, because we need to grow up. And the scripture, the Bible is amazing because it absolutely teaches us how to mature. And it has everything that we need to heal our soul so that part of us is set free so it can mature and grow. The thinking in our mind, we can get trapped as a 3-year-old. We can get trapped as a teenager. And we often don't even realize that's what it is, but we do recognize that we are not responding like an adult. We are not responding in a mature way. I think you all probably even encountered someone this week that did not respond in a mature way. And maybe that person was you. And when that happens, I'll say, Lord, where did that come from? And then you take some time abiding in the Word and sitting with the Lord so He can help you. And then you call a friend to help you pray. We're to agree. We're to agree. God establishes things where two agree. Hallelujah. Let's read this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every part of your body is necessary. The whole body works together. And how wonderful when your whole body's working together. Amen. It's really rough when your whole body is not working together. And I'm telling you, within the body of Christ and the church, it's really rough when everyone is not working together for the health of the church, for the health of the body. But speaking the truth in love, it's the truth of God's word spoken in love. God loves us. He loves us unconditionally, but He loves us too much to stay the same. He loves us too much to remain the way we are. God has something more for us. Each one of us sitting here, God has more for you. And it's together when we are joined together. You see, we're knit together by the Spirit of God, and every joint is to be supplying according to God's plan for the body. And then we grow. We grow together. If your leg does not grow along with the rest of your body, you are going to have a problem, and you're going to be dragging your leg, and you won't be able to walk, and you'll be way out of balance. And you see, this is what happens within the body of Christ. We are God's body. We are to be growing together, encouraging one another. That's why we come to church. It is to put courage in one another to get back out there and face the world. Thank you, Lord. Let's read 1 Peter 4:10. Dr. Henry shared that passage. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, giving the person something that they don't have themselves. Now, you see, this comes down to spending time with people. It comes down to building relationship with people. It comes down to giving of yourself. Instead of making your schedule so busy that you have no time to give of yourself, and parents often do this with children, we've got to give of ourselves to our children. The body of Christ, taking time to give to one another. Because you have a gift given to you by the manifold grace of God. And so there's a variety of gifts within the body of Christ. And if every joint is supplying and every person doing their part, then every need is met within that group. And I believe God has designed churches with specific people to come together to fulfill the need of the people that are coming. He knows what's in you. The scripture says he sets the solidary into families. God chooses the place that he wants you to be. Because you have what is needed in that house, and that ministry has what you need to get planted, to continue to grow. Because God wants us to grow up. Grow up into him in all things. He wants us to grow. He loves us so. He has so much for us. Let's read our last verse this morning. Romans 12:1-3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we thank God that our lives belong to him. I'm so glad he's in charge of me. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that I can give my life to him. It's just your reasonable service. It's the least thing you can do is allow the Lord to use your life. Allow God to work in your life. So that you're not conformed to this world. There is pressure to conform to the world. Pressure, constant pressure. But we're to be transformed. A transformation takes place when our minds are renewed. That means the Spirit of the Word is going to speak to the spirit of your mind. Ephesians talks about the spirit of our mind. The world will mind program you. The world will say the same thing over and over and over and over and over. The media is the best at that, over and over and over and over and over. Same line. Doesn't matter what media network you turn on, it's the same line. I saw Kenneth Copeland Ministries put together a YouTube, and it had all the different news programs, and they were all saying the same thing, and they just lined them right up, and it was just amazing to see. It's the same thing over and over because they're trying to program your mind so that you will believe what they're saying. We need the washing of the word. It's what cleanses our minds. It's what keeps us on track. And it will show us what's truth and what's error. It'll show us what we need in our lives. Where God wants to heal us. You know, God healing us is a wonderful thing. We have some amazing testimonies that I hope we can bring forward during this series of how God has healed people's soul by renewing their mind. God is amazing. If we will just let him work, let the word work in us. Let the word work. Meditate on it day and night, the scripture says. So let's just go ahead and pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for this series. Lord, I pray, Father, for every person listening here and listening online. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that through this, Lord, you renew us and transform us and heal those inner areas of our lives. And Lord, we pray for our small group starting next week. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for those that you've called to come to River of Life to partake of the small groups. We thank you for the leaders that will be leading in these groups, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your help, for your grace, God, that you will dig around, that you will fertilize us, and Lord, that we thank you for the time that you give us, Lord, to grow and to be transformed and changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning.